Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome to the Legends on a misty, murky Thursday night. It's a much quicker turnaround, isn't it? Monday to Thursday, but still much to talk about. Mm-hmm. Aldo, Sharpie, good evening.
Good evening.
We've got loads of things on the agenda. Daniel Sturridge, we touched on it Monday, didn't we?
Yeah.
Tony Cascarino said it in the paper, didn't he, on Monday? And of course, Daniel Sturridge said it himself this morning, which just caused a little bit of controversy. Ross Barkley is captain the other night. Anything else you want to talk about? Transfer window, Koeman not interested in bringing Joe Hart anymore. How many more do Liverpool need to bring in? Look, let us know. 01514720967. The boys are at your disposal for the next hour. 01514720967. This is the Radio City Legends. Right, I thought we would start with the Champions League draw.
Yeah.
Even though Liverpool and Everton aren't in it, there was Liverpool involvement, wasn't there? Rushy.
Well, I didn't know nothing about this because I've been busy today, and I've come in and Sharpie said it was quite funny what happened on the telly, and Dave showed me a clip, and it was quite funny.
And it's very rarely you can see this. He had a nightmare. You've never ever said that about Rushy, but he had a nightmare.
Rushy was brought in as the main guest, wasn't he?
He was one of the main guests, and his job was to open the ball to draw.
He screwed them now, don't they? Yeah.
His only job.
Well, he had to do a lot, but he had nine where he couldn't open, and he just the fella next to him was the hardest working fella on the draw because he was trying to do that. But I felt for him; it was a nightmare.
I mean, what a scenario to be put in. He knew, didn't he? You could see his hands are going double pace, the ball's slipping out, and then he's
probably done it in practice, and it's been no problem. And then when it's happened, oh my goodness! Yeah.
Do you practice Champions
League
draw?
Yeah, they would have went a rerun. Yeah, they've done that before,
and then the groups that they could have done
would have been better. But the group that gets me is Barcelona, Real Madrid, Mönchengladbach, and the last team drawn out in the draw, Celtic. What a group, isn't it?
Celtic are going to be licking the lips at that, to be fair, because with all due respect, you know, it's going to be tough getting out of any group, you know, but hey, some great games to look forward to at Celtic Park, isn't it?
If Celtic play anything like they did the other night, they get battered, won't they?
Yeah.
But by those teams.
Yes.
And of course, they've got 20 million from getting in the group stages, haven't they?
Fantastic.
And just a footnote on this, next year, of course, if you finish in the top four, you're guaranteed a group stage place, aren't you? I read that in a couple of the papers
today. Top four in the Premier League.
Yeah, they're saying it's changing now. So the top leagues, Italy, Germany, Spain, England, you finish top four, you don't go into a qualifier now if you finish fourth.
Yeah.
That's virtually being ratified.
Right.
They're obviously looking after the money in the big clubs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Good decision or not?
I don't know. I thought they were going to change it. I thought English clubs were looking at losing a place.
Did we talk about that, weren't you?
This year, they've been
very poor over the last so many years. Yeah,
the coefficients and all that.
And they were thinking
of
losing.
It's all about money now. It's all massive business. Yeah. So they want the English teams in, don't they? So that's probably the reason why, isn't it?
It's again, we've said it time and time again, it's becoming a Super Cup. Yeah. It's becoming a Super League in its own. Mm. You know, and then we keep saying, is there going to be a breakaway? Well, by this, it looks as if it's going that way. You know,
one day it will happen.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know whether we'll see it, but certainly down the line it will be a European
league. Well, let's hope our teams are in it, of course. And that's the big thing, isn't it? You want to be in it.
Well, you want to be in it, but the way football's going now, you know, it's a bit money. You know, and look at Man City, would they have been in it 10 years ago?
No. No chance.
No chance. So money talks now. We talk about Manchester United, the money they've spent in the transfer market. We look at Manchester City, the money they've spent in the transfer market. Incredible. You know, and that's what it's going to be. It's who the richest clubs are going to be in that competition.
What about Leicester's group? Group G, Leicester, Porto, Club Bruges and Copenhagen. They could get through, couldn't they?
Result there. Porto, not the team they were a few years ago. Still good in Europe, don't get me wrong. You know, Benfica and Lisbon are... You know, they're the better teams in Portugal now. So, you know, they're getting them at a good time. You know, it won't be easy. It won't be easy for Leicester because obviously they've got to look after the league and that. They haven't got a bigger squad as most teams have, you know, going into the competition over the past few years, all the top clubs in England. But Ranieri knows he's a clever manager, good manager. But I think they've got a great chance, don't get me wrong. But
I said to somebody today, what's your mindset now as a Leicester player where you've exceeded all expectations last year. He's given contracts out 5 years to Vardy and Vardy and 5 years to like Drinkwater today. What is your mindset? Is your mindset we're going to win the league again, or we've won the league, you know, resting your laurels and just... Once they do that, they could go the other way get dragged into a relegation scrap. Mm. Will they go and enjoy the championship? Of course they'll go and enjoy the championship, but you can't switch from one mindset to the next. You've got to have that mentality all the way through the season, which they had last year to win it. And I just think it's going to be very interesting to see what Leicester we get this year.
You know, it's going to be, you know, playing a lot of Sunday games. You know, it's hard enough for a team who's won the league to retain it over the years. Not many, you know, recently that's retained it because they're there to be hit. They're the champions. How Leicester can cope with that? Mm. It's going to be really hard. And then the squad and varying the size from the league to the cup. I hope they do well. I really do, but I think they could struggle in the league.
Can they cope with it? Right, turn our attention to the English Football League Cup. Good results for both our sides this week.
Yeah. What we expected.
It was comfortable, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought I was flattered us a little bit. I thought Yeovil did okay without really posing a threat. They did okay. We toiled for parts. We had a lot of possession and everything else, but it wasn't until Ross Barkley scored the second goal, put it to bed kind of thing, then we got the two goals from Coney later on. But, you know, Yeovil did well. We had a lower team coming up. They enjoyed it, good support. But it was comfortable in the end for Everton.
Can Liverpool not do without Mane at the moment? We saw him miss the Burnley game, came back for that game. But he seems to be the spur, the catalyst for everything at the moment.
You know, because he's positive. He probably does know what he's going to do himself because it's natural. You know, it's off the cuff stuff. Mm. You know, it's where the other players tend to know what they're doing in the game. So if he doesn't know what he's going to do, the defenders haven't got a clue. You know, he gets it. It's what he sees going forward. He goes for. You know, he's direct, positive. We've said this, you know, over the last few weeks. And I think he's going to have a great season for Liverpool. You know, let's hope he can stay fit.
What a snip, £30 million. Sammy Sharpie, it looks good.
A lot of money. It looks good at the moment. It does look good at the moment from what you've seen other teams go out and spend. But he's a creator, you know, he's made goals again, hasn't he? Mm. You know, and I think if we would have played at Burnley, we would have had a much better chance with him in the side. But, you know, it's not all about one player at the end of the day, it's about, you know, the team and. You know, what the others can do around him as well.
Okay, if you want to talk about any other players, anything on the agenda, transfer window, give us a shout. Dave's there to take your calls, 0151 4720967. It's the Radio City Legends for a Thursday night. We're on Mondays and Thursdays. And let's talk with our first caller of the evening. It's Neil, Liverpool fan in the city. Evening, Neil.
All right, boys.
Hello, pal.
You're all right, mate. Yeah, the reason I rang up earlier is I've been alarmed by the fact that that Klopp hasn't gone out and got his main number nine. I mean, I know we've got our left-back and defensive issues as well, which I still don't think have been sorted out. But I can't believe that we're going into the season with Sturridge. You can't make plans with the league. You seem to pick up a lot of knocks. And then after that, you've got Danny Ings. I mean, I know he uses Firmino, but that you wouldn't be able to feel confident with having Firmino only up front for 8 to 10 games. Just wondering what you thought about our forward situation. And are you surprised as well?
I think we've got a lot of backup there. You know, we've seen Firmino can play up there, although I don't think it's ideal.
He proved
it was wrong on quite a few occasions when he's played up there, and we took City apart with other teams, and you know we've seen it at Arsenal, so it can work.
It can work.
You know, Sturridge has to play up there. You know, if he's going to play him, you know You know, especially he's going to throw the rattles out the pram and that. You know, he wants to play in the middle. He wants to be main man, whether the manager thinks that or not. You know, he's got a fight on his hands. He's come on and the other night and scored a couple of goals, which is nice. You know, there was a league less. You know, to come on the pitch and you know make a statement. That's what you want to see from players. You know, he can play there. Mane can play there. You know, he can play anywhere along the back up there or up top, and then you've got Danny Ings and Rigi. So I think with you know forwards, we're all right. I think we're all right. It's just getting the manager getting the balance right, you know, Neil.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the defensive side of us, it just doesn't feel like it's sorted out yet. Do you think we'll make any more moves, John? I'm not sure we're gonna we're going to make any more moves, do you?
I don't know. Obviously, we've all been talking about it for a while, haven't we? The left back spot, you know. I like to think he's got, but if he thinks there's no one out there that fits the bill, you know, and he can go with Milner and Marino and maybe Gomez when he's back, you know, I think people said Matip might be able to play there or Clavin. I don't know, think
maybe
they can field
Gomez. Thinking Gomez is coming back.
Well, yeah, you might think that they can fill the gap till someone comes.
Available to
the requirements. What in? I don't know. You know, only the manager knows. But I think elsewhere, if Sacco goes, he's got the three centre halves there now, and Lucas is a great pro. He'll play wherever the manager tells him to play. And at centre half, you know, again, it's not ideal, but whenever he's played there, he's done really, really well.
What do you think about the Sacco story and the way that's developed this week, Sharpie? This idea of sending him out on loan. The manager hasn't denied it. And it seems like the press have got it somewhere. So the idea of sending him out on loan to do what? To get his head together, his fitness together? What's the idea behind that. It?
I'd just sell him.
Do you send a top player out on loan?
No, I would sell him if he's filled up with the manager, Sharp. Mm. You know what I mean? And his ill-discipline, which I don't know, that's what the press are saying or whatever. I think, surely he's a seasoned international. All right, he had this thing around him for the last few months, you know.
Well, he had the accusations of overtaking substances, which he'd been cleared off completely. Yeah. So WADA's not dropped the case completely. So there's nothing there.
But what we've seen is, has he not been training pre-season?
He's been injured.
Well, he had
a bit of an injury, Annie. Nearly right there,
So, listen...
Not like a John Flanagan type injury where he needs to go out and...
Well, we don't know that, do we? So we don't know what the extent of the injury. So we don't really know. So we're kind of guessing from the outside, but... Asking me the question, I'd find it, surprising. You know, especially with the job he'd done for Liverpool last year, you'd think he'd still be in contention. But the manager's obviously looked up and thought, he might need... I don't even know how long he's going to be out for a loan.
The only loan deal that would make any sense would be a three-month loan deal and then get him back.
Yeah.
So season-long deal wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Spot on.
I'm not sure it makes sense for Sacco himself, though, is it? He's probably sat there thinking... You're sending me out on loan? I'm young. I'm very much touted last season as the best.
The manager's taking a stance.
One of qualities is communication. If he communicates to him that, this is to get your fitness, because he hasn't played for a while, get your fitness, get your head, come back in 3 months and you can be back in the... If he communicates it properly, it can be a positive move. But a 12-month loan, it makes him just sell him.
I think it's some sort of a lesson. But for me, if he's not in the manager's thinking... No, I'm sure there's plenty of teams out there that had won him, you know.
See, a 12-month loan. I know the boy Galloway, but for Everton's been down to West Brom, that's different. He's younger. Sacco's experience. 12 months for an experienced first-team player. It's a bit strange for
French international.
Yeah.
He signed a new deal last year as well.
Yeah, you're spot on. I don't know. I think only the manager knows the intensity of what's going on.
The only thing as well... Neil as well. Like, if he stays at Liverpool and he's not in the squad, he's not going to get many games in terms of under 21 level, which is not going to test him. So, you know, I can understand maybe sending senior players out, but not the 12-month thing for me rings alarm bells.
Could be a nuisance around the place as well. Maybe. I don't know the lad. You don't know with these, but you know, people like that sometimes they have a bad effect on the other players. You don't know.
We don't know the relationships, do we? It just seems rather strange. Neil, thanks very much indeed.
Cheers, Neil.
Have a good weekend. Right, we're going to do Look Who's Scoring. So the rules are very simple now.
Yeah, 1-0.
Sharpie starts trying to throw names out during the break, and if he gets the name right, he's basically lost. So he's got to live by this rule.
It's going to be hard for you.
And basically, the winner at the end of the series competition, whatever, will get something from the other person. Right, let's start with Look Who's Scoring. So who is this individual we're talking about? And Dave's gone to a real sort of length to make this very difficult today. So for 5 points, he was born in 1977 in Brazil, but would go on to play for a different country. So born in 1977 in Brazil, but actually went on to play for a different country. Either of you? No? Should we move on? Two times, this is for 4 points, two-time Champions League winner with two different clubs, neither of which were English. Get the countdown clock on for the boys. Two-time Champions League winner with two different clubs, neither of which were English. Okay, for 3 points. Nice, Dave.
I like Countdown as well.
Yeah. It's a good programme, isn't it? Came to the Premier League in 2008, won a league title and two FA Cups, before finishing his career in Fluminense in Brazil.
Yeah, got him.
Have you got him? Hang on. Have we got a successful sweeper here? Dave, we haven't even got anything to indicate if it's success or not. Oh, my goodness. After the break, we will. Do you want to leave this after the break? Do you think you've got it?
Yeah, I think I've
got it. Okay, Rob, don't say anything. Okay. I'm going to take a short break on the Radio City Legends, and it'll give a chance for Aldo maybe to catch up on Sharpie. You want to get involved tonight? We'll talk about Ross Barkley very shortly as well, and we'll talk about the boys' thumbs up and thumbs down of the week. That might involve golf for one of them and for the other. You never know. 0151 472 0967 if you'd like to get involved. Stay there.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
I will take more of your calls very shortly. It's 6.50 on a very foggy Thursday evening ahead of the return of the Premier League this weekend. Right, we were doing Look Who's Scoring. So who was the player? Born in Brazil, 1977, will go on to play for a different country. Two times Champions League winner with two clubs. Neither were English. Came to the Premier League in 2008 and won a league title and two FA Cups before finishing his career in Fluminense, Brazil. You can take part if you want on the Twitter at Radio City Talk. Now, Sharpie was absolutely convinced,
no,
so we've got to give him the first chance.
I thought of Deco, but Deco never played in the Premier League, did he? Did he? Where did he play in the Premier League? Chelsea. Eddie Hadler once, Dave.
Didn't play in the Premier League. What were you watching?
No, I can't remember.
Chelsea,
yeah, but I can't remember him actually. Couldn't he
kicking a ball?
Yeah, couldn't picture.
Is that
him.
Who you had in your head?
Yeah, I couldn't hear his name.
50 games for Chelsea.
And he came through that route we were talking about.
Yeah.
Good win, that.
Well, thank you.
And you get 3 points for that one. Dave's keeping the tabs on this.
That's me 4-0 up then, isn't it?
4-0.
Yeah.
You are leading. There was an audio clue, which was a bit of his voice, but you've got it anyway. Brilliant stuff. Come on, John. No. Pick it up for the Reds.
Just since, you know, Tuesday, I've just been not on this podcast.
You don't need to be. The other clues were his Champions League medals were won in Portugal and Spain. His honours in England were at Chelsea and 75 caps for Portugal and scored 5 goals. I thought that was really difficult. Right, we're going to do thumbs up and thumbs down. Who wants to start with a thumbs up or a thumbs down? John, is it you with a thumbs up?
Well, the thumbs up was we played golf. It was a great day. You know, between
sorry about that. Everton's still on
for the lads, both the Liverpool and Everton. Formby, what a great golf course. The greens were just ridiculously good. Morning, afternoon, and we had a great time. The sun was out. And it was regardless. Okay, we won it, but it was just great. And, you know, it was great company all round.
Okay, so we had Robbie on Monday, and I'll quickly go through the scores.
Gary
Gillespie
don't have to.
Beat Graham Sharp.
Yeah, good battle.
Okay, two up. John Aldridge won his against Graham Stewart, 3-2, convincing.
Yes,
come back in the end. He had my first nine, and then Stewie done really well in the back nine, but just done enough.
I'm reading through these because I'm sure there's some cheating going on here. Gary McAllister beat Mickey Thomas, 5-4. Oh, Robbie Fowler, who rang in the other day, I noticed he hasn't rung in today, lost to Kevin Ratcliffe.
He's lost his mask. Lost his mask in the morning.
Robbie, I know you're listening. Harry Kuehl, 2-up against Tony Grant. Paul Ince. Lost to Mark Wright. Yeah. Now, Ince plays every day, so he must be good. But here's the confusing one. So, Alan Kennedy won 4-2 over John Parrott, who essentially is a professional golfer.
John who?
John Parrott.
Oh, no. We can't take that.
You're one of the best.
Right, there you go. That's a thumbs up.
That's brilliant. Absolutely love it.
That's all those thumbs up. Your thumbs down of the week was?
Is that last one? Alan Kennedy beating John Parrott. John Parrott's came into our team last minute. We were struggling for players. John, brilliant. Really good golfer. Plays at Formby. He's his home club. He knows the course. And he never won a game. He got beaten the morning by Robbie. I won't tell you what his comments were over Robbie's handicap and where he got it, maybe from a lucky bag or something like that. In the afternoon, Alan Kennedy beating John Parrott. Robbie, I could understand because Robbie's a good golfer. Alan Kennedy, off at that handicap, there is no way he should beat John Parrott. I went to Alan and said, what are you playing off today? And he went, what day's today? And I went, Tuesday, bent 16 today.
Well, the Reds won overall. Was it your thumbs down of the week? Was it the golf?
No, listen, I reiterate what John says. It was
fantastic.
We had a fantastic, and Formby Golf Club were magnificent towards us, and the lads were brilliant. It was a bit of fun. Yeah, there was a bit of rivalry there as well, but we had a great game. I was fortunate. Yeah, I played with Aldo and Gary Gillespie in the morning alongside Mickey Thomas, and in the afternoon alongside Graham Stewart. We had a great day, and it was fantastic.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, Mickey Thomas was funny. And you know, get with Graham Stewart. But also, My Face Value is the sponsors. I've got to give them a plug because they're doing brilliant. It's a website that are trying to stop touting in many ways, trying to get tickets to...
Sport touting.
Tickets to get in the right hands and, you know, get face value. And they've done us proud. They've done really well. But it's a great day. It really was a
brilliant
fantastic
stuff.
Day.
Well done, lads. Have you got another thumbs up for the week, Sharpie?
Thumbs up. I would just have to say Everton's performance, another victory. They're on a little roll at the moment, the confidence. And the young boy, Mason Holgate, another decent game from him as well. So... that's a positive from this week.
Okay, Sharpie's thumbs up.
I think he's got it right.
That's brilliant. Absolutely love it.
You've got a thumbs down, haven't you, John? Which is your dog at the moment.
We've had the dog for 3.5 weeks now, a German Shepherd. Beautiful dog called Coco. But it's doing me head in now. it just wants to play by biting me feet. Me slippers are going everywhere. Me pants, I'm dragging it with me pants, and you know,
dragging the dog around.
You know, it jumps when you're not leasing, it'll jump up and put you in the head and try and just playing with it.
Hey, there's many Evertonians that wanted to do that.
That's not a blue mouse.
They say dogs take after their owners. Yeah.
It's a fantastic dog. It's just taking its time getting out this infancy.
Okay, what's your dog called?
Coco.
Oh, Coco, lovely. Right, John's at
Can you imagine
down.
John Aldridge shouting, Coco,
in the park.
That's not a clue, mate.
That was didn't have a clue.
Brilliant stuff. Right, let's just quickly talk up to the top of the hour on a couple of different topics. Ross Barkley got the captain's armband. Is that a big thing?
It was strange. You know, look, when I heard he was captain, I couldn't fathom it out. Listen, Ross has done really well this season. He started well. Maybe it's just another... sign from the manager, you know, just to give him belief and more confidence to say, listen, lead the team out. But he did well again. He scored a really good goal, although the goalkeeper would have been disappointed with his positioning. But no, I think it's just another step in the right direction for Ross to build his confidence up. I think last year his confidence was shot. He was getting stick from the supporters. So this is another an ideal opportunity to say, listen, Ross, lead the team out, and led him to victory.
Okay.
And it's a nice thing you've done with Sir Benson. That was lovely, Dad. I thought that was really good.
For the scout.
Yeah.
That was nice. Absolutely brilliant. Right, we have got a mystery caller.
Robbie.
Robbie's having a listen.
I knew he'd have a bite.
He couldn't stay away, could he? Evening, Robbie Fowler. How are you?
Good evening, chaps. It's not a bite, although.
I didn't say not, mate. Hey, you've done well, by the way.
I'm just saying.
That was Stevie.
No, I was saying, was there a dispute over any of the scores? Was anyone?
No.
Was anyone?
Robbie, I'm going to ask Robbie side. Now. Robbie, you must have been surprised at Alan Kennedy's result against John Parrott in the afternoon.
Listen, as soon as he got that red shirt on, not surprised me. Some of the performances he's
going. Oh, lost him.
No, he's here.
No, he's gone. He's gone. Just as he was getting into his flow, his prime.
No, it's best time to come off.
Yeah, he's gone, hasn't he? Yeah. What was on his mind then?
I don't know.
Something. Something riled him. Maybe it was the AK.
No,
line.
No, it was. I think it was Sharpie saying he got his handicap out of a lucky bag. John Parrott said that. Yeah.
Robbie, we did want to know why you lost, but anyway, we've lost you now. So we'll find out.
No, he's a very good player, but he's off 10, like.
I must tell you a little story. So I went to play with my brother about 4 years ago, and Robbie doesn't know this. He was waiting to come on after us. My brother had treated me to a round somewhere. And my brother was a little bit in awe of the fact that Robbie was there, and he literally hit it about 4 yards in front of himself because he was so bothered about Robbie's presence behind him. Right, Robbie is back.
He's back.
I'm back. I don't know where I got up to there, but... I said Alan was in Thailand the week before, so he was very, very relaxed on the golf course.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And Robbie, why did you lose your match?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I actually felt sorry for him.
No, you never.
No, I never, but I'm just thinking to myself, if we don't give you at least 1 point in the afternoon, he's might never want to play it against Sharpie. So.
Well, that's in the next time. I think we'll have we'll scour the market a little bit better than we did today. This time, we never had. Unfortunately, some of the lads that wanted to play, but obviously the football, the games on the Tuesday night, a lot of lads were working, media commitments and everything else. But no, listen, nothing like that. It was absolutely fantastic day, Robbie. We thoroughly enjoyed it.
Format's great, isn't it? You know, yeah. And as you're saying, Rob, because, you know, it's a yearly event now. You know, it's out there, and, you know, we can raise more money along the way. You know, whatever comes in this year goes for the echo, you know, the depravity of the young kids not getting food in the area, Merseyside, which is important.
Yeah,
you know?
Good charity. So
yeah, both teams did, you know, we decided to go that way, didn't we, Rob?
Yeah, Robbie, you on your way back from the golf course?
No.
Yeah.
I I'm not looking for excuses here, but I mean, I lost to Kevin Ratcliffe, who, to be fair, he's a very good golfer.
Yeah.
But he's an old man golfer. Everything is straight down the middle, about 20 yards.
Hey, that's the name of the game.
No, I granted, but at one stage I was three down and got it down to level on the 17th, and I thought to myself, I've got him here. Yeah. And honestly, being a striker, I went for the glory, Sharpie. I went for the glory and come up short on the 17th and ended up losing that hole, and then it was an uphill battle on the 18th. And,
Was there any baiting of your opponents, any of you?
No, we just had a laugh. No,
right.
No, it was brilliant. To be fair. It was a great day, and obviously thanks to Sharpie and hopefully it will be a year thing because look, the lads do get very, very competitive, and obviously we're not playing football anymore. But this is the nearest that we'll get to that competitive edge again. So yeah, we love it.
Hey, just a quick one before you go, Robbie. I know you're at Anfield on Monday. Of course, they're doing the new opening of the stadium, aren't they? So they've got 10,000 on Anfield ahead of the first home game against Leicester. It's going to be something else, isn't it? Seeing that stand finally full, because it's massive, isn't it?
Oh, huge. I mean, the skyline over Anfield now is it's just taken over by that stand. I think it's just frightening, isn't it? And, you know, you've got another 8,500 people there, and hopefully that'll... I mean, I think the Anfield crowd is very good in terms of generating noise anyway, but I think the acoustics of this one's going to maximise that. So I can't wait for it to be in full throttle, mate.
It looks like it's been designed, John, doesn't it, to sort of acoustically make as much noise as possible. I don't know if that's true or not.
No, it has. Apparently it has, you know, it's got that in to help, you know, the sound coming that's getting generated within the stand. Because if you go to Anfield now, it looks so different because where it was like, impacted it all on you. This one takes it back a bit. It's not as much in your face, but it's a fantastic job what they've done. Well, being able to keep the same capacity up for years is just incredible what they've done this year.
Robbie, thanks for ringing us. Just a footnote before you go. Sharpie complained that he was knackered 2 days from the golf. That's old man golf for you, isn't it?
So was I.
Yeah, to be fair.
Hey, yes. By the way, them couple of bottles of wine and about the 10 pints didn't do any good to anybody, neither Robin.
Right, see you, Robbie.
Before you teed off.
Thank you very much.
Cheers,
Robbie. Robbie Fowler there. Right, 3 minutes past 7 o'clock. We will take some of your calls as well in a moment. 0151 472 0967.
Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
I'm Steve Hover. So we've got Aldo and Sharpie in here, and we'll take some more of your calls very shortly indeed. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. A couple of things on the agenda. Daniel Sturridge in a moment. But this idea that Everton could be interested in Joe Hart, who hasn't got a club and quite clearly indicated that he was leaving Manchester City last night. In very good fashion, by the way, Sharpie. I thought he handled himself impeccably, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And... But again, Ronald Koeman's come out and said no, he's not interested.
So why no?
I don't know. I find it surprising. But listen, people have different opinions on different players. You know, he's obviously. I think that he's still looking for a goalkeeper. So for whatever reason, does he not fancy Joe Hart? It must be the case because I think Joe Hart would have been up for a move to Everton. But the manager stated now that he's moving on now and he's looking towards the game of Stoke. And for him, Joe Hart's. He's not come to the football club. I always believed that there would be more players coming into Everton before the transfer window closes. I still think that would be the case, but I'm getting a little bit worried because we're also interested in the boy Perez, I think, from Spain, but he's now chosen Arsenal by all accounts. So time's running out, and I still think that we need to add to our squad. You know,
And you don't want to be gazumped a week before the window shuts,
no, well,
do
I
you?
Think but he's went to Arsenal and he's cited Champions League football, which I can fully understand. It's not a problem. But going into the season now, I still think we're a little bit short. You know, Coney came on the other night and scored two goals. Is he the answer? For me, personally, long term, I'd say no. So I think there's another forward needs to bring into the club. You know, and a goalkeeper and possibly a right back. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, it's a little bit of a worry for me.
OK, let's ask our next caller exactly on those sort of topics. Gary Big Blue in Kirby. Evening, Gary.
All right, mate. You all right?
Yeah, what are we thinking about Joe Hart, first of all, Gary?
Well, I mean, I think probably the wages might have been a stumbling block, but I would have took him because we need another one. But let's give Stechlenberg a pat on the back as he's come in and he's done great in them two games, Graham. Mm-hmm. I think he's been a revelation.
Yeah,
I'm made up, and we do need another top goalie. You know, I think last year when Tim left, I said it from the start, I wasn't overconfident on Rob Les. I think he's a bit of a flapper, but I would love Joe Hart, but let's see if he comes. But Graham, I honestly think we need a little bit of height at the back. That was what worries me is on our set pieces. We're not a big defence. We've got some good, strong lads there.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but it frightens me height. When we got set pieces against us, and we had a corner against us. I was at West Brom on Saturday. Yeah. We had a corner against us and a free kick in the dying seconds. And your heart in your mouth, because them free kicks I get banged in at that height, you know, and we haven't got that extra, you know.
I think that's why he's trying to get
someone goes and bang, you know, edge it away, you know.
I think that's why he's trying to get the boy Coney from Sunderland. He's that type. Now, I don't know what that situation is going to be. I know David Moyes has come out and said he's not for sale, but what do you do with him? You know, if he doesn't want to be there, you know, it's a really difficult one. Do they let him rot in the reserves and his price goes down, or do they take the 17 million? I still think that, but I'd like to think that might still be on the cards that we might bring him in, because I agree with you. You know, Funes Mori still at times worries me a little bit.
And
I think Coney would be a good addition, because he does give us that height and physical strength. And I agree with you, West Brom, the last couple of minutes, hearts were in the mouth because they were just lumping things into the box and you're thinking, come on, let's get rid of it. So, no, I agree with you, I think. But I'd like to think they were going to get maybe two or three in before the end of the window.
Yeah, we need another striker as well, because
like
Lukaku's obviously, he said he's staying for another year now. But if he was to get injured or you know, miss out, then again we're light. And Deulofeu's not an out and out striker, mate. There's no way he's a centre forward.
No,
you know,
chance.
What I mean? Not in a million years, you know. And we definitely need another striker. The best player for me at the start of the season, this bargain of the century, is this Idriss Agay.
What a
find he was, you know. His first touch, Graham, is a pass.
Yeah.
You know, his first touch is a pass. And as he makes that pass, he's 50% to where the ball's just come from. And he's went and getting the back.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a great little find.
Yeah,
that
spot
lad,
on.
You know what I mean?
Spot on, he has. Again, he went under the radar. Not a lot of people would have probably said, yeah, get him in. But they have done. And I think alongside Gareth Barry, who I think started the season, you know, just as well. I think he's been fantastic.
He brings the best out in Barry, I think, because, you know, it takes that pressure off Barry, where Barry will go round and pass, but it takes that bit of pressure off where maybe Barry's 65 minutes, 70 minutes, you can probably see him flagging a bit, but this lad just carries on. He reminds me, remember Claude Makélélé
at
Chelsea? He just goes around, does all that business, you know, the little bit of, give me the ideas of athletes, move along nicely, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good player, good boy.
Nice one, Gary. We're going to have to shift on to our next caller. Thank you very much indeed. Is that a Koeman finding or a Steve Walsh finding, Idriss Agay?
Difficult one. You know, I think.
Does it show the value of director of football? Is it?
Well, I don't know. Koeman obviously was aware of him, you know, obviously playing against him at Southampton and Villa. You know, I'm sure.
Were you two aware of him?
No.
Had you heard of it? John, had you heard of Idriss Agay?
No.
I can't remember him. As I said, I can't remember him. But again,
you don't notice teams in you know,
exactly.
players in teams that are going down, do
but
you?
But listen, see, if you ask me, Gareth Barry, when we signed Gareth Barry, I was like this. I'm not sure. You know, he's getting on a bit. What does he do, kind of thing? But it's only when you watch somebody week in, week out that you can appreciate how good he is. And Gareth Barry has been fantastic for us. The same with this boy. Villa, we saw him twice a year maybe. Didn't stand out. He was in a struggling team. But now he's come in and you're watching him every week and you're thinking, this kid can play.
Maybe you've got an absolute gem. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the phone lines and welcome to the Radio City Legends. Gary, who's in Queensferry. Hi, Gary.
Hi, you all right?
Hi, Gary.
Hi, I'm just reading about, I think we maybe need another striker before the window closes, really.
John, another striker for Liverpool.
Oh, not for me, Gary. I think we've got... If one was to go out, you know, then, yeah, which I can't see happening, you know, it's not well, you know, a few days to sort it out, but...
I just worry about Sturridge and all that.
Yeah, but he's got so many options there. You know, Origi can play there, Mane can play there, yeah. You know, Sturridge can play there. Firmino can play there, you know, as a false centre forward. You know, and Sharpie saying Balotelli can play there, but I'm not having that one, by the way. But yeah, so for me now, I think you know, get to January, see what happens. You know, Sturridge can get the fire back in his belly, and you know, hopefully that can be the start of a season the other night. Because sometimes as a striker, you know, you just need to get a goal or two and get the confidence back, and hopefully get that feeling that the enjoyment that he might get from me. I hope I'm right, you know, but we'll have to wait and see. It's the ball's in his court if he wants it badly enough.
I do like Sturridge. I think you can tell he wants to do well. When he plays, he wants to score and he wants to help the team and all that. But just injury, I just worry about his injuries.
But we're at the stage now, we talked about this last week, I think. Now, for what we've got, and we've seen at Arsenal and other games last year when he wasn't available, you know, last year was when he got injured, we were all going, oh, not now. But it's got to the stage now that we have got people who can...
You can fill his boots.
Absolutely, you know. So we've seen Firmino playing there, and it's not ideal, but it works. It works sometimes. You know, Origi is getting better and better as a player. You know, Danny Ings, you know... He can only get better. Mm. He just needs games, lad. You know, he's got no games, you know. And then Manny can play there as well. You know, he's got options. Whereas last year we had no options.
That Manny's brilliant. Mm.
It's a great signing. You know, it's an exciting signing. No, absolutely.
Sturridge is being made out by the papers today to be a bit of a moaner, isn't he? Some of the headlines. But I almost don't see it that way. He says he's not happy with his Liverpool role, and probably quite rightly, because if you two were put out on the right-hand side... You wouldn't be happy, would you? But, you know where you're most effective, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. But, you know, if the manager tells you to get centre-back, you go centre-back and you do the best you can.
So you don't say to the press that you don't like it?
No. You just get on with it. You know, the manager says, I want to try you out there. Then try him.
You know, play for Liverpool.
Yeah.
But he actually says within his quotes, look, it's not my ideal position, he said, but I'm not going to complain.
Well, he is.
Well, he is, isn't he? Because he's seen it.
Someone's obviously asked him the question, haven't they?
Exactly. But John,
I think it's fair enough to say he didn't play that well at Burnley because he wasn't in his right position.
No, it looked like Burnley, you know, he didn't run behind once. You know, you still want to score goals if you're playing, you know, right back, left back. You still want to have a couple of shots on goals and get goals. You're still from a right midfield. In the way Liverpool play, you don't have to stick out there. They swap and change. You get forward, you get across, you get behind the centre halves. And Daniel didn't do it against Burnley. He didn't do it once.
No.
You know, against Burton, obviously, you know, he came on and hey, well done, two goals. You can't say no more than that. Let's take that on to the next step now. If we start him at Tottenham, you know, which he might start him.
Where did Suarez play? Where did Suarez play? He played all over the place, didn't he?
True.
He didn't necessarily. Yeah, but he didn't necessarily just stand in the middle and say, I'm a centre forward, I'm standing here.
Well, he's a different player, isn't he?
Well, he can do it. So there's a prime example. Listen, you don't have to stand there. You can go. Suarez is a perfect example.
You go where you think you're going to make the team better off. You know, when you're playing up front, sometimes you end up on the left wing or the right wing. You pull people about just for the team. And, you know, it's not all about yourself.
Gary, thank you very much indeed. Gary in Queens Ferry there.
I'm going to ask a question here, and I'm not taking a mickey or anything like that. What is going to happen with Balotelli?
He was linked with Everton this week, wasn't he?
No.
He was.
Who linked him there?
What
is going to happen with him? So the transfer window ends in...
Switzerland, someone was this morning, someone in Switzerland was saying that a team that they made...
Sion, that's who it was, John. Sion.
Yeah, you know, so...
I don't know.
There's always someone, isn't it, who'll take a little bit of a pot shot at a player like Mario.
But money?
It's a tough one, by the way. It's a real tough one.
Money?
So there's no way Everton will be interested in Mario?
I would be very surprised.
With Ronald Koeman the way he is, not a dog chance. No way. No.
Ronald wouldn't put up with it.
I don't think so. But then who would? And then I'm thinking, okay, and the money must be on big money. Who can afford them? You know, do Liverpool say, we'll give you part of his week? he's really in a situation now. I tell you what, if he doesn't need money, obviously, kind of thing, the lifestyle and everything else, but surely, and I keep saying this, surely to goodness, you want to play. Mm. You want to play football. He's still a young guy. Surely you've got to go out and say, right, okay, it hasn't worked for me. I've got to go and start and resurrect my career somewhere
start
else.
From
surely.
Scratch.
Yeah, surely.
You know, obviously, he's not got the same mentality as Graham or myself, is he? You know, you can see that. Well, blatantly obvious, isn't it?
Here's another one that's been alienated, Bastian Schweinsteiger, hasn't mm-hmm. he? So he's 31, 32.
If you're talking
Mourinho's
about,
told
you're
him
about
to,
a different pro there, aren't mm-hmm. you?
Yeah, that, very different. But he said, I'm not going to go anywhere. He said, I'm not quite happily, yes, just sit out my contract.
He's going to get under Mourinho's yeah. skin because he's the way he's been treated. Mm. You know, Mourinho's gone in and he wants to set an example. This is me, this is what I do. You know, you go and train with the kids. Mm. So he's probably said, I'll do it as his agent. Well, do you know what I'll do? I'll teach him a lesson now. If he thinks he's going to take me on, and he's standing up for his own. It's not ideal, it's not great for him, but he might get it. I don't know, he might be something in it for him at the end of the day.
But even at that age, and he's seen things and done things kind of thing, he's had a great career. But even then, you would think to yourself, well, okay, if I'm tailing down and I can't fit the demands of the Premier League, there's still massive opportunities, you know, throughout Europe, or even if you go, I know it's not a great league, the MLS, there's still opportunities out there for older players. You know, look at the ones that are out there, you know, Pirlo and people like that, Steven Gerrard kind of thing. So it's a league, it still attracts people. So surely, Schweinsteiger, and I totally agree with John, he might have a beef against Mourinho kind of thing, but mm-hmm. surely deep down, after a while, you must think, I need to go and play. I need to go and play football. Surely, if it's MLS, it's a good contract, whatever, let's go. Surely it's not all about the money at his stage of career. He's earned vast amounts of money. I find it really, really hard to take the fact that a footballer would be happy just to sit in his bum.
He'll play again, though, with the money. He'll play again with Mourinho and Man United, him and his agent. That's what it's all about. He's playing the game. Mm. And at the end of the day, he'll want... For him, Man United want to get rid of him and say, well, all right, give me everything that my contract, every single penny I want. Now, if you want me to really go, and I'll go.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look forward to the Premier League this weekend. The Premier League table doesn't mean too much at the moment, but say if you're Liverpool, do you think Klopp would be... So, if you're looking at three games, how many points return would have you expected from three away games at the start?
You look at Arsenal, you take a point there. You look at Tottenham, you take a point. Burnley, you take 3 points, five.
So he's after five. So essentially...
No, five wouldn't be bad. I'm just saying that wouldn't be bad. That's
right.
Acceptable.
So is a draw at Spurs acceptable on Saturday?
Well, it's not a bad result. It's not a bad result. You know, but it's touch wood. It's been a really good ground for us over some years now. And the way Tottenham play, sometimes it suits us. So we can go there and win. That's without a shadow of a doubt. But if we were to get a draw, I wouldn't be too unhappy.
Yeah. Spurs, are they in a good position, do you think, that this Premier League season?
Well,
added massively, have they?
No, well, I saw them at the end of the season, obviously the opening game of the season at Everton, and they weren't too impressive. You know, they were okay. I thought there was a few of them who said the other night, a few of them suffering a little bit. Kane, I didn't think, looked at his best, and Dele Alli didn't look at his best. So they've had a lot of players in the Euro, so they didn't really opt it. Now they're a couple of weeks more in, you know, so they'll be expecting at home. You know, Liverpool, big game. As John says, Liverpool got a good record down there. They'll be looking to put one over in Liverpool. I think a point's a good point down there. I said, because they'll be up there or thereabouts at the end of the season. And, you know, obviously Liverpool got home games coming up as well. So they've got to, you know, try and win those games. But I think a point would be a good result for Liverpool.
And what about for Everton? Stoke City on the agenda.
Well, we got off well. Tottenham at home, a point. You know, disappointing. But as I said before, against
good
Tottenham,
four points,
side, yeah, it's a point. Three away at West Brom, four. You'd be looking to get 3 points against Stoke. Although they beat us last year at Goodison, I think it's a different place now.
Yeah,
it's a different place now. And under Koeman, a little run going, you know. So hopefully we can get the 3 points.
What do you mean it's a different place?
It's a different place because the fans last year were anti in terms of...
It was a bit toxic, wasn't
it? Yeah, the manager and the players and the performances and everything else, and it was a difficult place to play at home.
The atmosphere is a bit more generated now.
The atmosphere is good now. They've got the new manager in place, the new owner. You know, it's more upbeat, if you like. The performances earlier on in the season have been okay. We've got 1 point against Tottenham, 3 against 4 out of the two leagues. That's quite a decent start. You would take that. And then our run of fixtures... It's quite good in terms of teams that you think you should be. I know it never happens like that, but we've got a good start to the season. It's important that we win against Stoke and keep that going.
I can't think who's passed the next game for us. Spurs, well, Leicester at home, haven't we?
No,
know?
It's easy. It's Leicester at home than Chelsea away. No, oh, whoever done the, whoever done the fixtures have done us proud. Well done.
Yeah.
Or was it really a computer?
He's got a gripe, haven't you?
Right, as well.
We've got 30 seconds. Bank holiday weekend, what's up? What are you two boys up to?
Did
you do anything special?
Yeah,
we'll did a game for the LFCTV.
Beatles Festival, anything like that?
Going to a 60th birthday that night. So, that'd be a nice day on Saturday. Have the kids on grandkids on Sunday, yeah, it's great.
I think I might be on the golf course.
Again.
Lucky you.
I need some practice.
Hey, by the way, he's a good player, guy, Sharpie. I tell you what, he can hit a proper ball.
Yeah. The Radio City Legends back next Thursday. Bank holiday Monday, of course. Thanks for listening tonight. Have a brilliant footballing weekend.